the Public News Service Story Newscast, December the 14th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. On the 10-year anniversary of the shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School, a local organization continues its work to see a national assault weapons ban.
Newtown Action Alliance, founded briefly after the Sandy Hook shooting, has been active in getting Connecticut's assault weapons ban passed. The group has also spoken with congressional officials about a national ban. David Stowe, with the alliance, describes where the U.S. is with assault weapons in the 10 years since the shooting. In his words, it's insane that people can be armed with weapons made for war.
Where we are now, I would say, I think we wake up every day and more Americans are horrified by, one, about the fact that people can own those weapons, and two, that we actually have not done anything to stop them. There were some small little pieces in the Safer Communities Act that passed this summer.
In the bipartisan Safer Communities Act, background checks were expanded for people under 21, and federal firearms restrictions were extended to include people convicted of domestic violence misdemeanors against dating partners. Stowe feels that in the current lame duck Congress, a ban would not make it through the filibuster process, but he thinks there should at least be a vote to demonstrate where individual lawmakers stand on an assault weapons ban. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
And on Tuesday, union members and lawmakers rallied on Capitol Hill to pressure Congress to support workers by better funding the agency set up to protect them.
The National Labor Relations Board has been flat funded since 2014, and with inflation, the agency says that amounts to a 25% budget decrease. Sarah Steffens, Secretary Treasurer for the Communications Workers of America, says as a result, the agency is woefully understaffed.
So many of these corporations have a history of fighting tooth and nail, violating workers' rights, firing workers, refusing to bargain. And if there is nobody to hold them accountable, there will be no one to stop that kind of behavior.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
The CWA says the number of requests to start a union increased 53% this year, and the number of unfair practices complaints were up almost 20%. Now for the New York Times, President Biden signed the Respect for Marriage Act into law Tuesday, mandating federal recognition for same-sex marriages and capping his own personal evolution over the course of a four-decade political career. In an elaborate signing ceremony on the South Lawn, complete with musical performances by Cyndi Lauper and Sam Smith, Mr. Biden told thousands of supporters and lawmakers that the new law represents a rare moment of bipartisanship. This is PNS. Folks in Utah are calling on Congress to expand the child tax credit and say it should be a priority in a year-end tax package.
This comes as lobbyists are also pressuring elected officials to approve business tax breaks as the year draws to an end. According to the Coalition on Human Needs, nearly half of Utah adults with children said they found it difficult to pay household bills in the month of October. And one in three said they didn't purchase basic needs so they could pay their energy bills. Clint Cotton with Community Action Partnership of Utah says they know the tax credit was a big help to Utah families in 2021 and want to see it continue.
If their people are stable, if parents know that they can make it, I believe they're going to show up to work more productive.
In Utah, 151,000 children under the age of 17 were not granted the $2,000 per child tax credit because their parent didn't earn enough. Cotton says they'd like to see some of the restrictions in the law reduced or eliminated so families have access to all of the funds available. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
Now to Wisconsin, where they're ranked 21st in the country when measuring health data, but an annual ranking says the Badger State is behind most other states in funding public health efforts.
America's health rankings from United Health Foundation show Wisconsin is 49th among states in getting funds to local health departments. KT Gallagher, who leads the Dunn County Health Department, says administrators like her must often scrape together whatever they can to provide services like immunization, support for new families, and environmental health programming. She says many people face barriers to maintaining a healthy lifestyle, and these offices can make things better.
That systems level work, if we had additional funding to support that, would go a long way to prevent illness that can adversely impact our ability to be safe and healthy and productive.
I'm Mike Moen reporting.
Finally, to Kentucky, where Natty Robigon lets us know the majority of families there say they'll be gathering as usual for the holidays.
More than 8 in 10 Kentuckians responded it is not too likely or not likely at all, but COVID-19 would keep them from the festivities. Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky CEO Ben Chandler explains choosing to get vaccinated against both COVID and the flu can help protect loved ones. He adds the new survey results show that most Kentuckians see getting vaccinated as a personal choice.
Nearly three quarters of vaccinated Kentuckians were either very likely or somewhat likely to receive a COVID-19 booster shot if it's recommended to be taken annually, similar to the flu shot.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here are some interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform, and find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.